Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
All of us are enjoying that it's springtime. Wow. It's like, if you don't think God loves variety, just like blink from last Sunday to this Sunday and you're like, okay, those are drastically different. Yes. You can also look at your neighbor beside you and see that that person beside you is probably different than you. Yes. Even identical twins would say that they are different, vastly different. And that's this series that we're on. We are all together different. We are meant to be different. Our God loves differences and variety, and yet he's also called us to be all together. So we have been looking at the book of Ephesians, which talks about unity. It talks about how we do this as followers of Jesus because we are so different, and often differences repel each other, but we're called to come together. What a good God to make this all possible. And so we are going to do two stops today. If you have your Bible with you, or we have message notes in our app, or our wonderful team that puts up notes on the screen, and that's the way you can track along with these verses in Ephesians 4 today. And we're going to do two stops. We're going to walk through the beginning of Ephesians together, the first 16-ish verses, and then we are going to discuss a little big word called offense. Oh, so exciting. I know you're excited. I'm going to start with this. And then we are going to pray. Because the truth is that I've prepared. I believe the Holy Spirit has prepared and encouraged me so that I can encourage you. But I also know that it's only the transformative work of the Holy Spirit that I can actually impart something to you today that's beyond my words. It's through his word. Like Pastor Mike said, this is all for God. This is God's house we are building. And it is through his word that we are inspired. So as we open his word, I just want to honor his word, and let's pray together. God, we just thank you that you are here. We thank you that you can do what no man or woman can do. And so, God, I just pray that through your word, that it goes out and it does what only it can do, that it can transform the hearts, the minds, the thinking, the actions, the living of each one that hears my voice this morning. And so I just pray that you would do your work this morning in your name. Amen. Amen. God is good. So we are going to jump right in. Ephesians 4:1. It says, I, Paul is who's speaking, therefore a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Firstly, I think it's so great that Paul addresses himself as a prisoner of the Lord. He's actually a prisoner of Rome. But he is saying, I am a prisoner of the Lord. So maybe you don't love your boss right now, or maybe you don't love the government right now, or maybe you're not really happy about who is in authority over you right now. We are called to honor authority, but we always remember that God is my authority. He is the one that I serve and I submit to, first and foremost, and he is a good, good father, a good, good authority. He goes on to say, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Okay, I need three COI people to go up those stairs, walk in whatever manner you want, across and down and then back to your seat. Three of you? Do I have three volunteers? Yes. Rylan? Yes. Okay, show me your walk all the way across the stage. Nice, just walk it. Yes, yes, and you can go right down to your seat. Yes, very nice. Oh yeah, William, see? That's it. That's it. Woohoo! Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Those walks are great. And we all have different actual physical walks, your gait, your swagger, whatever it is, the way that you walk. But this is a calling for us to walk in a manner that's worthy of saying that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. So what is that walk all about? What does that walk look like? And like we've talked about so often, and Jazz shared an incredible message last week on being in our sphere. That's the walk part. That's the everyday obedient step after obedient step to follow Christ and to be like Christ. Well, Paul's so awesome because he doesn't just say, okay, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Then he gives us a layout of how to do that. That's in verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. That is so good that he lays it out. In the NIV, it actually says, be completely humble. Humility is the currency of heaven. And maybe you've heard it said that greed and pride are at the root of every sin. Well, the antidote to that is to be generous and to be humble. So how do we do that? How do we walk out this humility? Well, it's so cool because humility is actually defined through gentleness. It's actually considering someone else's needs above your own. It's actually saying that I am going to control the power that I have and be gentle with something. Okay, I need a really strong senior high boy to come up here. Okay, Andrew. And I am trusting you, Andrew, that you're going to do this. We have the janitors in the room right now, and they want you to do a good job of keeping your power under control. These are two raw eggs, and what I want you to do is I want you to do a lap around the sanctuary and bring them back to me. You good with that? You got to run, though. You got to run. Go, Andrew, go. Go, Andrew, go. Go, Andrew. Go, Andrew. Yes, yes. He's keeping his power under control. Could Andrew crush those eggs right now? Like that, he would just have to give a little bit too much pressure between his fingers, and that would be a mess. I'm sorry, Dennis, Brayden, yeah, Theron, who's in here. Way to go, Andrew! Way to go! Nice job. I will take the precious eggs. Thank you for restraining your power. That is gentleness. The Greek word is proos. Gentleness or power under control, to restrain myself for the sake of others. You know that you could say something that could hurt someone. You could physically hurt someone, but you actually restrain yourself because that is what we do as those who walk worthy of the calling. We actually restrain that which we could let out because for the sake of someone else. We carry weight for each other. We have patience. We have long suffering. Makrothumeo is the Greek word that is used here, and it means it takes a long time to rile you up. If you've ever heard the verse in James that says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There is this patience with one another, which is so essential for walking out this life of love, bearing with one another. I don't know if you've heard the term bearing recently. If you have had a child or two, it's like bearing down is actually a really exciting point because you're like, yes, I'm getting somewhere. But it also takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And that's what it takes to be able to walk out this life, this life, this worthy of the calling kind of life. We actually need to be able to, it's hard sometimes. Like patience. You know, patience is easy when I'm by myself in a room. Yeah? It's like, wow, I feel so patient. And then I am like interacting with humans and I'm like, oh, they're doing what I don't want them to do. They're saying things. They're not happy. And my patience is gone. But that is the beauty of the gifts of the Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians. It's like, that's actually the Spirit in me. I can have patience. You know, it takes a long time to rile me up through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:3, next verse, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. Or in the NIV, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Again, this speaks to some work. And it says keep or maintain. Okay, so one thing, the Spirit, because the Spirit is here, there's already unity. So we just have to keep it. Good news. Okay, we'll just keep the unity. I don't know about you, but is maintenance hard for anyone else? It is the worst part of owning stuff. I just want to light a match to the garage sometimes, or my storage room, or the car. It's like, does it really need oil and new transmission fluid and blah, 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 things again? Maintenance, 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 maintenance. That is our life. And sometimes we have to be, you know, eager. We got to make the effort. We got to want it to keep it in check. And it's the same with unity. It takes a lot of work. And maybe you feel with relationships. It's like, you know what? I'd rather go for a new one. In your marriage, I'd rather just go for a new one. Let's move. Let's switch churches. Let's get a new house. You know, we just want a new because, oh, if I have a clean slate, I'm going to do it really well this time. It's going to be great. It's going to be perfect, just the way I like it. But I remember two statements. One, the grass is always greener where you water it, which speaks to maintenance. And one that my mom always says, wherever you go, there you are. Okay, so you come with you. So that is just the way it goes. And so it might be difficult to keep that unity wherever you go. But remembering that unity is not uniformity. We are all together different, but called to be part of the one. And that's what it goes on. Paul's talking, Ephesians 4, 4 to 7, it says, and we can count the ones with me. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. 8 times in these 4 verses. One, 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 if you don't get it. One. We are called to be one, even though we are altogether different. Maybe this reminds you of a scripture, you know, the two will become one flesh. If you're married in the room, is being one difficult sometimes? Yes, it really is. And so it's important to realize that we need that Holy Spirit to do something that is beyond possible. You know, I love that scripture. It's like, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Such an encouragement. And I love the end of this scripture where it says he is over all, through all, in all. He makes us an all. He is the authority that covers us all. He is the thread that connects us all as a family. He is the Holy Spirit that is in us that makes us an all. He makes us a community. It is him that we need. I'm going to jump down a little bit for sake of time. Ephesians 4, 13 to 16. It says, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, that's easy. No, it's not. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One, we need the head, which is Christ. He is the one that makes this body function as one. If we don't have that, decapitated bodies don't last. They just don't. Been to a cadaver lab. They don't live. But we are called to grow and to grow one another. And that's this thing with this walk stuff, is we're doing it with others, which is really the challenging part. And what we're called to through the work of the Holy Spirit, to work together as he has called us. Speaking the truth in love, that we are meant to mature into what he's called us. And it seems kind of impossible when I read that chunk. It's like someone saying, Jen, could you touch the ceiling right now? And I'd just be like, okay. So close, guys. I was so close. it's impossible. I could not touch this ceiling. But yet, again, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We are working towards this perfect unity. He is returning for a bride. And that bride is going to be unified. So all the parts that are coming together, all together different, that's what he's returning for. That's what we are called to. So that's pretty straightforward. Of course, not easy. But now we're going to move to stop number two, the little big word, offense. Because that is the challenge with unity, again, that we are with other humans who maybe think differently than us. And I don't know about you, maybe you don't get offended, but this is definitely for me, because I can get offended like daily, every second day. You know, somebody says the wrong thing, someone looks at you the wrong way, and you're just like, I don't like that person anymore. But we're called to work it out, to love, to forgive, to bear with one another. So much. Proverbs 19:11 says, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Okay, so is offense a sin? I asked myself. And I think it's the same as anger. You know, in Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So in your offense, do not sin. And offense becomes a sin when it turns into bitterness. Bitterness turns into hatred, and that creates a very, very strong wall. Like Joy talked about how there was this wall of hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. This is impossible with man, but only possible with God, that those two people groups would be part of the same house, the same family. It's just mind-blowing. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So we are called to not live in those things. If we're going to have unity, we have to work through our differences. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So grace is essential for us to be able to work out, again, this being unified together. Okay. You know, I love object lessons, obviously. I like visuals. And so we're going to try something today. And it's going to be fun, or it's going to be funny. It's going to be, you know, impactful, or, again, just funny. Because it might end up in a disaster. But I have faith in my people I have asked, and it's going to be great. Okay, offense is a destroyer of unity. And I need 6-HCY-CLY, all the acronyms, people, to come up here. I can see you all. You're just jumping up. You're so ready. I need 6 of you to come up here and help me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Look at these. Yes, yes, yes. That's 5. I need one more. All right. Okay. I have a piece of wood for you, Emerson. There you go. Yeah. Okay. These ones, you know, you just have to make sure they don't fall. Just, yeah, you can hold them together. That's great. It's great. It's great. Okay. Okay, these are kind of heavy. You got it. You got it. And one more. Awesome. Okay, these wonderful pillars, these wonderful pieces of wood, they can build a fence or they can build a house. So what I want to hopefully visually remind you of is that we have a choice if we're going to build a fence or if we're going to build a house. So here's some offensive statements. So as I say these statements, can you guys just come maybe here? I'm going to do this so that I have my statements. And you're going to stand in front of me as I say these statements. Is that cool? I think this will work. Okay. You look good for your age. Okay. So you can come stand here. You're actually really smart. Come stand. I didn't expect you to do so well. Come stand. Oh, it's not that big a deal. You're just overreacting. You're fine. You should really eat healthier. why would you do it that way? I'd never let my kid do that. You look tired. That is never feels good, guys. Okay. Are you sure you want to wear that? Why can't you be more like your sister? Other people have it worse. You always do this. You never listen. That's just stupid. Oh, or in your own mind, I can't believe he didn't even notice that I cleaned the whole house. She didn't even wave at me when she walked by. He never called me back. Did she even notice my haircut? Oh, what can start as a simple splinter, a simple statement, we start to hold on to it and we build a fence of offense. And then we create division where I can't even get to you. I can't even see you beyond a fence of offense because I've built this structure, this root of bitterness that is now a full-blown fence. And so we have to work through our offenses to be able to do life together. Thank you guys so much. You can put the wood down right there. Great job. And actually, Jeremy can come up with my three who went to HCY because you're going to help your dad calmly and cool and collected. We're going to build a house. Okay. It's going to be great. So am I building a fence or am I building a house? And they're just going to build it behind me, hopefully with some great unity, okay? And there is always two sides of the fence. There is those who are speaking the statements who, you know, you have to watch how you guard yourself and how you allow that to offend you. But there is also a great scripture that we've actually written out on pages as family over the years. Ephesians 4:29, if you know this scripture, let no unwholesome talk come from your mouths except for what is useful for building others up, that it might benefit those who listen, according to their needs. There is something as well that we need to watch how we're speaking. So it's not just the person receiving the comments that has to, you know, watch the offense and be able to forgive. You need to watch your words as well. We are here to build each other up. Am I benefiting those that listen right now? Is this a helpful thing? Is this a helpful correction? And I know I'm a person, I hate offending people. Oh, I just don't want to do it at all. And yet the whole speaking truth in love, it's a really fine tension, isn't it? Because I know my dad, he is so gracious and he doesn't like to complain and or offend. And so he happily ate rice pudding for the first 20 years of my parents' marriage, even though he didn't like it. Because my mom, you know, was like, oh, I'll make it more because he likes it so much. So there is a point where it's okay to express maybe if you don't like it. But we can still, again, there's two sides that we can benefit. Speaking the truth in love. Because speaking the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians 4:15, we will grow. We will be able to build something. To become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The truth without love is harsh. But the truth, or love without truth, truth is shallow. And biblical unity requires both. And how we do that is a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness. A lot of this pouring out of the Holy Spirit that gives us the grace to maybe think, okay, maybe that was just the way they were that day, or, you know, it's like maybe she didn't mean it that way, or what do we unify around, you know, is very important. We want to build a house. Oh, it's looking so good. We want to build a house and not a fence. We are called to unity, but we won't agree fully. You know, it kind of hit me when I was preparing for this message. A lot of the wonderful women that I get to connect with at different times and do life with, and I love them, and yet I realize there are things that we just do differently, think differently about different things, and yet we're called to be sisters. We're called to be part of this family, this house. And I love, this is credited to St. Augustine. It's a 17th century quote. It says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. So it's just a good rule to live by. It's like, okay, we did the Apostles' Creed series. Those are things that are essentials. We agree on the essentials. But when it comes to the things that are outside of that, the non-essentials, let's give some freedom and some grace. And charity always, which is grace. We need all the different parts. Even in this passage, it talks about the different gifts we've been given and the different pieces of a structure are all essential. I actually tried to build this and I was missing some pieces and it fell down. And so I was a little concerned, but I found all the pieces. And we need all the pieces to be able to build a house because God wants to return for a complete bride, for all of us, part of this body in Christ. But can I just say as well, just to remind us that it's not unity at all costs. I do not believe in unity at all costs. Unity is not God. God is who we unify around, and God is truth. We unify around the truth. Yes, we speak it in love. Yes, we have grace. But we also do not unify around that which brings death. We do not unify around things that sometimes our culture unifies around. So it's very important to remember that, like that we are still unified because of the truth, which is the head of this body. This quote from Robert Jameson, I found it on the Logo software. It was so good. It says, truth is the first thing. Those who reach it will at last reach unity because truth is one. While those who seek unity as the first thing may purchase it at the sacrifice of truth. And so the soul itself. You know, there's some pretty evil, you know, I think of ISIS or even, you know, a pro-choice. That is, God created your body. God created that life inside you. So we unify around what is life and what is biblical and what is true. Even if our culture tries to tell us a lot of different things, we unify around that which is truth, even when it's hard. And I want to close. How are we doing?
We're getting there.
Okay. Well, we're still building a house. It's great. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And that is the truth. Like I said, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without offering forgiveness to those who wrong us because it's going to happen. We are humans and we hurt each other. That is the nature of who we are. We just don't do it perfectly. And yet we are called to come together as a body, as a family, under the authority of Christ, who is the head of this body. And we don't do it as people who have somebody who has an authority that hasn't already experienced what we experience. When we think of Christ and what he has done, the forgiveness that he came for, to pay a price for our sins and where we didn't measure up and we couldn't figure it out and we were lost in ourselves. Christ made a way and he forgave us. His ultimate forgiveness is what we can look to as our example and how we can walk this out. And that is the good news. That is the gospel. And that is what where we encourage each other on this journey, doing it differently, in our differences, we have the same Jesus, the same Lord. And so we know that we can be unified because of Christ in us. And when we build a home, boy, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Look at that. There's only two nails left. It doesn't matter if it doesn't fit perfectly. You got it. And then we're going to pray together. You guys can stand. You ready to stretch your legs? And know that this is a house we are building. Instead of a fence, we will build a house. Wow. Well done. Well done. Oh, I love those people. It's Kobe's birthday. I know he probably didn't. And Joy Dawn's and so many. And Asher. Oh, I just love it. We're a house that celebrates together and builds together. So instead of a fence, let's build a house. But that's going to require us working on some of those things, those people even that came to mind maybe when I was talking about offense, or even some of those statements that, you know, seem humorous, but sometimes it can go deep. And so it's important to just remember that we got to let go of some of those offenses and forgive those that have hurt us. So I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want to pray. I want to pray that we could, even in this moment, just be reminded where we are starting to build a wall, or we're starting to build a fence. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are the ultimate builder of what is beautiful, of what is life-giving, of bringing unity, even your unity that is present in this place, God. I pray against any walls that we've built up between each other, between those that would be followers of you. God, we pray for those walls to come down, that dividing wall that you did away with. God, when you tore that curtain, when you said we can have free access to you, that God, the outpouring of your grace, of your forgiveness, your Holy Spirit that can just flow down into us even now and just help us to release those things that we're holding on to. God, where our hearts have become hard, I pray that you would soften them. Help us to forgive. Help us to bear with one another in love, Jesus, to put on your gentleness, your compassion, your kindness, oh God. It is your kindness that leads us to repentance, and you show kindness to others through us. And so we pray that we would be those vessels that would be so kind that people would see you. God, each lost one would be found because of your representatives in this house, God. We just praise you and thank you for what you're doing and how you continue to pour out your Spirit and unify us. Thank you, Lord God. I just am going to pray one more prayer, and it's a prayer of, you know, if you haven't said, yes, okay, I want to follow Jesus. I want to walk in a manner worthy of his calling. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Then I just encourage you can repeat these words after me, and we're just going to surrender to Christ in this moment. You can repeat, Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you for your great plans to save us, to give us a hope and a future. Jesus, I want to be made new today. I want to receive the gift you offer. I accept your forgiveness. I believe the price you paid with your very life was for me and everyone on this planet. I want to follow you, Jesus, to be filled with your Spirit, and to live on purpose and on mission for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.